Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that your word will be alive among us, that we may be lost in your wonder, love, and praise now and always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian freedom. As I read Romans, that theme pops up a lot and definitely in our lesson for today. And it's very important for us to understand what Christian freedom is, because misunderstanding it causes a lot of strife for people. Misunderstanding it causes people to feel a lot of shame, a lot of guilt in their lives, and quite frankly, isn't pleasant. And so let me open up by giving you some examples of misusing Christian freedom. There are a lot of churches today that will teach that if you are saved, you will not sin, and you won't do anything wrong. And that sounds great, but you and I both know that's not true. Even we know that from what Scripture teaches us. Even the book of Romans teaches us. And they teach this. And then they've come up with this wonderful doctrine they call backsliding. So if you happen to go out and sin, and we call that a backslide. And that way, if you die outside in that time period, you don't go to heaven. And there's a lot of shame and guilt in that. But oh well, if you go to church, you back to church and you worship God and you do the right things, then you can be forgiven again. There's a whole lot wrong with that doctrine. Some also teach that if you're a true Christian, then you will never sin. And if you do sin, you're never really a true Christian. Well, that's a great way to define Christianity, isn't it? I guess I'm driving the bus to hell and you all are coming with me, because I know I'm a sinner and I'm pretty sure, I'm confident you are too. And this is how that played out growing up where I grew up in Tennessee. You know, certain churches think that it's a sin to drink, right? You don't drink. And you would go over to my friend's house and you would open the inner cabinet in their house, and guess what was in there? Sacramental liquor, I guess. I don't know what it was. Or what was really funny, and in Tennessee, you couldn't call them liquor stores. You had to call them package stores, because you couldn't use the word liquor. And there was always a back entrance. And you would see people drive into the back, somebody run out with a bag to the car, and then they would drive away. And here's the reality of why Christian freedom is so dangerous. Because you know what? Even though it's not a sin to drink, we know that. I mean, we know that. We Lutherans like to drink. Even though it's not a sin to drink, being a hypocrite is. So if you proclaim one thing with your life and then do the opposite, that's hypocrisy. That's the definition of hypocrisy. By the way, we're all hypocrites because we all say we're Christ followers and then we sin. So we kind of all fall into that boat. But you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. So misunderstanding Christian freedom is quite a dangerous thing. It leads people down a path of shame and eternal guilt. The other way that Christian freedom is misused are churches that teach, well, if you sinned, you should not have sinned and you're a bad person. So you have to do something to earn God's forgiveness back. We call that works righteousness, right? You have to do so many good works or so many certain types of prayers or give so much money to the church. Now, while that is a great way to raise money for a church, it is not advisable because it's not true. It is not true in the least, because there's nothing we can do in our works to earn God's forgiveness or salvation, right? Why is that? Because every one of our works are still tainted with sin. So what is the true understanding of Christian freedom? Well, first and foremost, to understand Christian freedom, we must understand from the core of everything we know and believe that with Christian freedom, Christ has died to forgive us once and for all. And that's the truth. Now, there's doctrines you will hear out there that say once forgiven, always forgiven. Have you ever heard that? Once saved, always saved. In a sense, we believe that as Lutherans, because Jesus only had to die one time for our forgiveness. When he died that one time, he saved the whole world. He's not going to come back and keep dying. He's already done it. We are already saved. But we also believe in Christian freedom that you can lose your faith once you have it. And that's something we'll talk about a little more in the message. But Jesus came, and with his death and his resurrection for you and for me, he ushered in the almighty, unconditional grace, mercy, and love of God the Father. And because of that, we stand forgiven in his sight. So we are here today. We are forgiven. We live in what's called this constant state of grace. God's grace is never taken away from us, never by what we do or by what we don't do, by what we've done or left undone. God's grace is never taken away from us because it's poured out upon us in that gift of baptism. Always ours, once and for all. And the great thing about that is, let's say this. In some churches, if you are here today worshiping, your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven. Let's say you leave church today and somebody cuts you off and you lose the Lord's name in vain. Not that any of you would ever do that, right? But you would do that. Or you think something bad about them, violating the eighth commandment. Then a car hits you, another car hits you and you die. Well, if you truly believe that you're not in always in grace and that you sinned and therefore you're outside of God's grace, you're not going to heaven. You see the problem with that? It's a dangerous doctrine. But celebrating true Christian freedom and understanding that we live in a constant state of grace means this. God's grace always surrounds me, and it's faith that saves me. God knows the heart. It's not about my actions. So if the same thing happens to me today, I get in an accident and I die, I'm going to heaven because God judges the heart. And he knows that in my heart and in your heart, you believe in him, therefore you are saved, right? This is the beauty of Christian freedom. This is the beauty of grace. Now, Christian freedom, how do we see it as Lutherans? How can we explain that we are sinners and saints at the same time? How can we explain that God wants us to be righteous and wants us to live a good life, but at the same time we know we fail miserably in doing that? This is freedom. First of all, let's say this. For the unbeliever does not have freedom. St. Paul clearly states this for the day. If you don't have faith, you are in the wrath of God. There is no freedom for you. Therefore, anything an unbeliever does, even his good works, do not please God. Now, God will use the good works of an unbeliever to serve the world. This is most certainly true. But they do not please God because you can't please God without faith. Therefore, everything the unbeliever does is judged in God's wrath. For the believer, there's a beautiful Christian freedom. And here it is. You know, you hear freedom talked about in Christianity all the time. This is the Christian freedom. You have the freedom to be for God or against God, and that's it. And this furthermore falls into how we even come to faith in the first place, because an unbeliever has no Holy Spirit, so therefore the unbeliever cannot choose to follow Jesus or accept him in his life because he's an unbeliever. We cannot come to faith without the action of God working us through the power of his word and in the sacrament. God chooses us. That's what I love about Lutheranism. God is the actor. If we become the actor, we mess it up. We're doomed for a life apart from God. But God is always the actor, and because he's always the actor in grace, love, and mercy and forgiveness, because he's always the actor, he works in us a perfect faith that he gives to us in word and in sacrament, and that's a joyous thing. And so therefore, in that freedom and understanding of freedom, as an unbeliever, we have no ability to come to God on our own, right? In fact, the third article of the Creed explanation from Luther says we cannot come to Jesus Christ or know him, but the Holy Spirit calls us through the gospel, enlightens us with his gifts, and sanctifies and keeps us in the true Christian faith. Christian freedom, then. In Christianity, once we become Christ, we have the freedom to be for God or against God. So here's the reality. Every time I come to a fork in my life, and that's really what life is all about, right? Constantly we're coming to forks in our journey. That's the reality of this world. And constantly, as a Christian, we come to that fork and we have two paths to choose. Be for God or against God. Now, I will admit, every time I sin, I am blatantly choosing to be against God. I'm blatantly saying to God, I choose to worship myself and I choose to worship Satan, thereby violating the first commandment of having no other gods, and thereby by violating the first commandment, automatically I'm guilty of violating them all at the same time. So good news, Christians, when you violate one commandment, you're guilty of violating them all. So if you've lusted in your heart or you've committed adultery in your heart, then you've also murdered somebody, and but goes back to the first commandment, you bow down and worship somebody else. Very often, that first person we worship when we choose to be against God's will, unfortunately and sadly, is ourselves. We like to blame Satan, but we don't need Satan to sin because of our own sinful nature. He gets a lot of credit for things he does not do. We're good at sinning on our own, and this is the reality. When I choose to fail to put other people first, when I choose not to love, when I choose not to spread the word of God, I am choosing to be against God's will. Now, going back to that grace, the good news is the Holy Spirit, as in our lesson for today, who continues to work sanctification, comes into our life, gives us a good dose of healthy guilt. Guilt is healthy because guilt points us back to where we need to be, which leads to repentance, turning back to Jesus, who is already there, where he wraps his arms around us, where he forgives us, and he loves us. This is most certainly true, and it's the most beautiful understanding of the gospel in the world. God never leaves us, not even in our sinfulness. He wraps his arms around us, and he loves and forgives us. Now, when I come to that fork in the road and I choose to do the right thing, I am choosing to be for God. I'm choosing to love. I'm choosing to put other people's first. I'm choosing not to sin, and this brings glory to God. Now, this work really isn't even of ourselves, because here's the reality. Because of our sinfulness, we really don't have the capability of choosing good, so we always realize this. It's the power of the Holy Spirit who still leads me to choose the good. And this is what we call the process of sanctification that begins the day we're baptized. This process of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and the process that makes us holy, makes us set apart in God's eyes. It's a process that begins the day we're baptized and ends the day that we go to heaven. And in heaven, then we are perfect, perfectly holy, perfectly pure, perfectly no longer sinners, but pure saints. So even there, God is working in our lives to lead us into the good. So evidently, in our life, we are always confronted with choices. And you heard me talk about that in our lesson, children's message for today. And we are. And at a simplistic level, I'm confronted with choosing to share my toy or not. But we are confronted with choices. And as we realize that we are confronted with a beautiful freedom, freedom really exists when we have choices, by the way. That's really the definition of freedom when you look at it from a psychological standpoint. The ability to have and make decisions and choices. And that freedom is beautiful. But it's not to be used lightly. Because as Christians, our freedom is always to submit ourselves to God, to humble ourselves before others, and to love him. Our freedom is always about seeking what actions will bring most glory to God and what actions will love others around us. It means denying ourselves, not being egocentric, and seeking to put the world first. Now, this is a hard concept for us to understand. It's a hard concept in our Western culture to understand because we are very much individualistic in our makeup. We always look out for number one, and that number one is me. That's what we do in our culture. But Christianity is not individualistic, but collective, in the sense that we always do what's good for the other, seeking to build them up so that they know the love, forgiveness, grace, and mercy of Jesus. And this is the beauty of Christian freedom. The beauty to be able to use our lives to point others to God. The beauty to rejoice in our forgiveness even when we mess up. And in that messing up, showing the world who our forgiving God is and how much he loves us. So it's not meant to be taken lightly. It is a very big responsibility in our lives to have Christian freedom, to choose to be for God or against God. And let me show you finally how this plays out. A lot of Christians today I've had many people come to me and they'll say, "Pastor, I have this decision to make and I've been praying about it and I've been saying, God, help me to do your will. Help me to do your will and to do what's right and pleasing to you. And then he's not answering, so I can't make the decision." Well, yes, pray to God and that's great. But faith in action lives in Christian freedom and makes decisions. Faith in Christian freedom says, I will pray to God, seeking to do his will, but I will not be paralyzed in prayer. Christian freedom says, as long as you know that the decision you are making has pure motives, seeks to glorify God, loves other people, and does not cause yourself or somebody else to sin, then step out and do the decision. Don't be paralyzed. God is blessed when we live in faith. He is honored when we live in faith. He is honored and glorified when we use our Christian freedom to live our lives from him. He doesn't intend prayer to be this thing that blocks us from living life. He intends prayer to be a way to connect with him and to know his heart. As we pray, as we do God's word, we know his heart more, therefore giving us the ability to make more healthy, godly decisions for him. This is faith, stepping out and knowing that you are giving God the glory and serving and loving others. This is the beauty of Christian freedom. And I pray that this beauty will take root and heart in your lives every day, even with the small choices and the big ones. Because every time you choose to be for God, you are proclaiming the love and forgiveness of a Savior who gave everything so that you might be with him in heaven. And you are showing people who Jesus really is. Not this God of law, not this God of no compassion, not this hateful, wrathful God. No, our Jesus, while God does have those things for those who are in Christ, he is a God of abundant grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, and life. In his name, amen.